This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Rainbow Report on mainstreaming. Well, I had to call it something. We've talked a lot in recent shows about doing it for ourselves, about the community organisations and individuals who make a difference. Today I want to take a look at how we fare in our dealings with the mainstream organisations, which may or may not understand our community all that well. Do they get it or not? Now, there's no bigger gorilla to take on than the government. Now, a collaboration between transgender organisations with the backing of the gay community has just scored a pretty spectacular win with a change in the rules on passports. We're going to talk to Sally Goldner of Transgender Victoria as soon as we can get her on the line. One mainstream organisation which has in the past spectacularly failed to get it, thanks to their chairman Jeff Kennett, is Beyond Blue. At a personal level, they've always been pretty much okay dealing with individual members of our community, but as an organisation, it's taking them a long while to get it. After Jeff Kennett's recent remarks that his time with the organisation qualified him to state that all kids need a mum and a dad in a heterosexual marriage, we'll be asking Beyond Blue CEO Dawn O'Neill, does Beyond Blue get it yet? And if it does, why is Jeff still your figurehead? Trade unions, on the other hand, seem to have got it rather comprehensively, with one glaring exception, the Shop Workers Union, led by the deeply Catholic President for Life, Joe De Brown. Other unions, however, led by the Australian Services Union, have just teamed up for equal marriage. We'll hear from them this morning. And then we come to sport. Unlike the UK, Holland, and in fact most EU countries, Australian soccer does not yet get it. We have one soccer player over in Adelaide United who's campaigned against homophobia in Holland. He gets it. We'll talk to him next week. But today we're meeting the president of Melbourne Rovers, our local gay soccer team, who will tell us all about the Justin Fashanu Cup, named in honour of the first professional gay soccer player to come out. And riding shotgun with me this morning is someone who's been tireless in trying to get both professional sports and Beyond Blue on side, Rob Mitchell. Morning, Rob.
Morning, Doug.
So we're going to have a talk with Beyond Blue today. I expect you're looking forward to that.
It can only be interesting.
Well, let's hope so. You've had quite a few run-ins with them in the past, and they have begun, I think, to get a few runs on the board, haven't they?
And you know, I think most regular listeners to this program or readers of the GLBTI press will know that at varying times it's gone from sort of what, as you point out, run-ins to, you know, just being completely scathing of an organisation that I saw really was not capable of delivering on something that was an entirely reasonable expectation.
Now, before we get stuck into this morning's topics, I just want to say a quick word about the Equal Love Rally in Mount Isa, because we covered that the last 2 weeks. Outside Bob Catter's office, which was organised single-handedly by James Newbury with the support, eventually, of the Australian Sex Party. James thought it might come down to one short fat guy with a sign, as you may have seen. In fact, 70 people turned up to wave placards at Bob Catter's office, including one couple who drove for 12 hours from Cairns in order to be there. James is taking a well-earned break this week, which is why we're not talking to him today, because his friends have dragged him out of mobile phone range. But just wanted to say, good on you, James. Keep up the good work.
Brilliant job.
Absolutely. Now, another brilliant job has just come to fruition. Travelling overseas is vexing at the best of times, but if your travel documents say male and you look female, or vice versa, it can be a nightmare. Now the Australian government has moved to make things a little easier, as Sally Goldner from Transgender Victoria is about to tell us. Good afternoon, Sally.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Rob. How's it going?
Hey, Sally.
Oh, it's pretty good for us. You must be feeling very pleased with this latest news.
The trans community is absolutely ecstatic. It gets rid of a lot of negatives, and the positives that we've had in the last 2 days since this has been announced, it's just been incredibly moving. So, the fact that people can now have greater freedom of movement, which is the short summary, because of these changes, is sensational.
Yeah, now the changes basically, as I understand it, are that in order to get a passport in your preferred gender, if I can call it that, and pardon me if I get my terminology mangled, because you know I'm not good at it, you no longer have to have had surgery first.
That's correct, yeah. Previously, there were a few smallish exceptions to that rule, such as if you couldn't change your birth certificate marker because you were still married, but now it is just a very much, we'll say, blanket process that if you are undergoing some form, the exact words that are being used in the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade website are some sort of clinical treatment for your gender situation, you can have a passport in your affirmed gender. Exactly. It's fantastic.
Yep. I'm just looking. They've actually changed the government website as well already. The passport section, I had a quick look. And it says you have to have a letter from a registered medical practitioner, not just from the Medical Board of Australia. They will accept one from an equivalent overseas authority, which is also important, I think, certifying that you have had or are receiving appropriate clinical treatment for gender transition to a new gender, or that you are intersex.
That's right.
That's a pretty wide-ranging change.
It is, absolutely. So, you know, you could be, you know, something from a trans point of view, someone who's unable to have surgery for medical reasons. So obviously, if you've been having hormones and living, I'll use myself as the proverbial hypothetical test case in this situation. So if I've been living female for some time, you know, it's just now no questions asked. You know, visit the GP, get letter, send it in with your passport application, and you'll get a passport with an F on it. Or, as I say, vice versa, I'd say, obviously, for someone needing an M.
Yeah, Rob.
Sally, I saw this come through on the news feed, and I thought, the bloody monitor's playing up on the computer. I didn't believe it. And then I, you know, looked at the release, and we actually had a conversation around it. I think, you know, we were talking about the requirements of whether it was it had to be an Australian registered doctor, and it doesn't. What do you put this outbreak of common sense down to?
The honest answer, and this may or may not surprise people, every indication we've had is this has come from Kevin Rudd himself, that he really wants to do his best to clean up discrimination within Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade on GLBTI issues as best as he could, and this was seen as very, very big.
Well, I think it's extraordinary, and it was so, you know, I thought it was so good. I actually rang his community liaison officer, and he was extremely chuffed to get a positive call, because I imagine some of the calls he gets aren't so positive. But it really does seem, it's sort of very simple and elegant. In many ways, just, you know, because don't ask, don't tell ends at midnight on Monday night, States time, for the US forces. It just seems to me that finally there was just, you know, all the other shit, if you want to call it that, has just been pushed out the way. And people have finally started taking notice of what people have been saying, which to people like you must be forever, that they've finally taken notice of it. And it's all been done and dusted. And I haven't seen, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't seen one negative piece of media about it.
Absolutely, I agree. And look, I did an interview yesterday on, arguably Melbourne's most overall controversial mainstream radio station. I was a bit wary. Not a problem. The interviewer was great, and the two callers afterwards understood the need and were quite positive. And when that happens, you sort of think, wow, and it's just such a difference. And the other part of your comments is the feedback we've had since this was announced. People who just wanted to travel like everyone else can now go and see the world. But other people who said they, you know, who came from overseas and didn't want to travel on, in inverted commas, the wrong passport, they now might be able to go home and see their family again. It's been incredibly moving. Yeah. And that's the positive effect of it. It's just been great.
Yeah, well, I've just got a message in from a listener. Politics can initiate change for good with this decision. Great and inspiring work here. Wonderful news. You from Transgender Victoria and a whole raft of organisations have been working together on this, haven't you?
That's right, yes.
Who were the other people who were involved, the other groups?
We've had Aram Hosey from West Australian Gender Project, Peter Hindle from Agenda in the Australian Capital Territory, Martine Delaney, based in Tasmania, for Australian Coalition for Equality and Tasmanian Lesbian and Gay Rights Group, and equally importantly, Gina Wilson from organisation Intersex International Australia. So there are, we really want to push that there are two sets of changes here that will also do something for intersex, and there's been very few initiatives of any sort that give intersex recognition in Australia, probably very few in the world. So
indeed,
very important as well. So both communities are very much jointly celebrating.
Yeah, well, congratulations, and I hope there's going to be lots of you travelling now and sending reports back to the Detours program. Greg Adkins will be lining you all up, I should think.
Like a fair call, yes. The only negative we can see out of this is it might mean more Australians on Kentucky tours, but perhaps we won't go there.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Sally, and once again, congratulations.
Thanks very much, guys. We'll certainly be celebrating.
Okay. That was Sally Goldner there from Transgender Victoria.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.